Today, I'm thrilled to be in conversation with none other than Nico Gastaldi, one of the best thrust vector aerobatic jet pilots worldwide. Coming to us from France, Nico brings his wealth of experience with hundreds of thrust vector flights on JTEN, Mephisto, and Ares, offering us a masterclass in the intricate world of thrust vectoring aerobatics. Join us as Nico walks us through his process for gear selection, assembly, radio setup, trimming, center of gravity adjustment, and gyro tuning, all essential elements for achieving max performance in turbine jets. But that's not all. Nico opens up about his latest ventures with PAU and RC Gadgets. We not only delve into their just-announced Pulse sport jet, but also get some initial details into a future thrust vector jet currently in development by Nico and the PAU team, anticipated for release later this year. Hey, Nico. How are you doing?
Hey, Ron. How are you? Fine and you?
Good, good.
Thank you so much for the interview. I am very happy to be here and to speak with you.
Yeah, I've been following you for a while online, especially lately. I've been getting into jets, and every time I look at jet aerobatics, thrust vector, freestyle, your name, your videos come up, and it's been really cool to see what you've been up to. So yeah, I thought it would be good to get you here to chat about how you started, what you've been up to with your projects, and also get some tips for people like myself to get the most or to make the most of their jets, right? So maybe we can start to get to know you a bit better. Why don't you kind of walk us through how you got started in RC and how you got to where you are right now with jets and with this high level of knowledge and skill.
Okay, thank you. So I'm Nicolas Gastaldi. I'm from France. I am 37 years old. I started the hobby by my father, which is also a modeler since more than 40 years. And I started when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. I followed him every weekend on the airfield. And as soon as I was enough old, I started to learn radio and to learn pilot skills. So I grow and I learn step by step some basic settings and pilot skills and start to do aerobatics maneuvers also with aerobatic gas models. And few years ago, I start to comp in aerobatic models categories, gas models categories. In French contest and also international contest. It was in around 2000 years, so a long time ago. And I comp an European Acro Cup, so I managed to win 2 times European Acro Cup in international and freestyle categories. And I also won the famous Spanish Breton Cup in Huesca in Spain with a lot of best pilots, European and international best pilots at the moment. So it was very good memory time and very good moments to develop competence and pilot skills and technical competence also to improve every time models, settings, buildings. So, okay, I started a long time ago and I finally did maybe 10 years of aerobatic gas competition. And after some 2 years of stop, I came back in the hobby and I had the opportunity to start the jet category during the 11 jet power when I had the opportunity to be pilot there in Germany. So it was totally a new category for me, so new models also. I never tried once by the past jet models. So it was very cool to try something new and something different and to learn new things also about piloting new models, new mandatory some new technical competence also about settings, about knowledge of piloting skills. And finally, it was the start of a new, something new by my hobby. And I discovered that jet was pretty cool. And I said to myself, so I want to do more about jet categories. And I had the opportunity to have some Swedish turbine sponsored company as start. And they follow me with a friend for formation flights during 4 or 5 years. And after jet models start to be more popular, more easy to fly, more easy to set up also with turbine facilities. With Kerostart, with everything was pretty more easy also. Jets start to be more lighter, more performance in flights. And I say to myself, okay, now it's time to discover something new also. And I start to, with my first G10 CARF model with Trust Vectoring System. So it was amazing at this time to discover something new and to do some fast maneuver and also very crisp and very, very small maneuvers like flips, like 3D in jets. 3D in jets is totally different than aerobatic gas model because you have to anticipate a lot of throttle answer. You have a lot of inertia. You don't have any flow with like in prop. Like in prop model, with you don't have a flow on the surface, mobile surface, so you have to anticipate a lot in every moment, every maneuvers, and it is very cool because you need a lot of precision, a lot of technical knowledge in a building system, in settings, with a lot of electronic components inside, of course, gyros. Power supply, servos, everything has a main role in the final performance of the plane. So I like it so much.
Did it take you a long time to start feeling comfortable with some of this type of like 3D flying with jets coming from propeller aerobatics?
Yeah, because I start with G10, like I said before. G10 is a Delta model, so you have to learn a different approach with like a Delta configuration. It is totally different. You don't have any flaps for land. You have to slow down the plane. You have a lot of thrust, so and idle thrust also. So you have to manage to learn how to land with the nose up and to reduce the speed. And it is a new area for normal pilots. So you have to learn the plane and to understand how it flies and how you have to pilot it. So very interesting.
Yeah, I've seen some of your videos with the J10. I don't know if that's the original J10, like the first J10 you had, or that's like a newer version. But either way, I've seen some of your videos with J10 and it's extremely impressive. I don't think I've seen anybody pushing the J10 as hard, as low, and still on a very precise manner, right? It's not just throwing the sticks to the corners. It's actually full control of the plane. It's been really, really impressive.
Thank you. So for me, it's main goal on every flight to be, okay, impressive, but to have a lot of precision because it's easy for everyone to do something radical, to push extreme on the skill, on the sticks, and to see what's happened after. So it is not my approach. I want to do something very fixed, very good precision. And even if it is very hard and very low, you have to impress by the quality and not by the stress for spectators to don't know if you have to crash or not. So it's my approach. So you have to practice a lot to have a good precision and a very radical flight also.
I don't think there's a lot of people that really know, really understand what the best way to set up from assembly all the way through center of gravity, trimming, gyro tuning. I think there's very few people that have a good idea of how to go through the whole process. So I think you may be the perfect person to talk about this. I think it would be good to dive deeper into what your process is, kind of from start to finish, when you're putting a new plane like this, whether it's the J10 and RS and Mephisto, generally like this type of thrust vector, high performance aerobatic jet. How do you think of it from the assembly point of view, like from the beginning when you're selecting what gear to use, all the way through? Now you're doing the first flight. How do you tackle that, and how do you go through the following adjustments that come on the first couple of flights? Can you kind of walk us through all that process?
Yeah. So for me, the main things I start is the build of the plane. It's pretty important, of course. So the secret is to be as light as possible, of course, like in an aerobatic gas plane. But I think in jets, the final approach is something different, because the weight is directly the result of performance of the plane. So with heavy jets, you will have performance with high speed, high maneuvers, high G maneuvers, but you will have less precision and less domain area of in range of speed. So if you want to do something radical in terms of flights like G10, you have to build as light as possible. So you carbon legacy option is very important. You can save maybe 500-600 grams in comparison of aluminum legs. On my plane, I still put brakes. Maybe it's every year than without brakes, but my airfield is not so big, so I have to put brakes. And I have also a smoke system, because in events, for me, it's very important to add also smoke system. But anyway, in the installation, you have to be careful to put a very high performance electronic inside, but not so big. So power supply has to be good, but not so big. Only 5, 6, 8 channels output. It's enough, because G10 don't need a lot of output channel. So you have to put also very, very good servos with good torque, but precision. The precision and the start torque is much important thing, because when you fly straight and you pull out in a very hard maneuvers, the precision of servos, the speed of servos, and the start torque of servos will directly have an effect on the maneuvers. So you have to be very careful in the length of control arm servos, depending the maneuver, the governs for vectors or aileron, canard. You don't need a very long control arm. You have to be very short and to use the 100% resolution of system of servos in order to have very good precision, speed, and to have the maximum torque of servos. I managed to try a lot of G10s with different servos manufacturers, turbine manufacturers, different installation inside. So with the same airframe as start, you will have a totally different result in terms of performance in flight and precision. So that's why I recommend to be very careful in the installation, to do something very clean, to be very careful in the adjustments, no clearance, every linkage and ball bearings have to be very good with less clearance. For me, it's the main things to start with a good plane. It's for G10, but for every jet and thrust vector jet. So it is the main things for installation. Now, when the plane is ready, you have to check on your house the factory CG recommendation. it is a good basics, even if for me 90% of CG factory recommendation is front, too front heavy, is too nose heavy. So, but it is a good start. It is a good point start to do the maiden flight to prevent any risk to have something bad in the flight. So I did the maiden flight, and during the maiden flight, the main thing is to trim the plane perfectly without gyro. With gyro is still off for first flight. And I start to trim the plane in every condition, in every output channels.
And I assume you probably make sure that the center of gravity is pretty close to where you want it before spending too much time on trimming, right? Because as soon as you move the center of gravity, all the trimming is going to change a little bit. What's your process to validate, what's your process to figure out if the center of gravity is where you want it in this kind of plane? Like in my experience, for propeller aerobatic planes, a very common approach is to do this like 45 degree ascending line, pretty inverted, and get a feel of how the airplane responds, right? Like if it tries to dive very quickly, you might be a bit nose heavy. If it tries to stay in the line or even climb, it might be too tail heavy. Do you use the same approach?
Yeah, for me, you know, it is my previous long time experience with gas aerobatic model. So it is the main way, the same way. I start to trim the model and I start to do upline 45 degrees, upline negative position with a good speed. You have to put a good speed in before the maneuvers. And when you are in a negative position in 45 degrees, you can see the model, how is moving the model. So he's going up or going down. For me, Swedish jet has to be in line. So maybe to reducing the upline slowly, but slowly or not moving.
So almost keep the 45 degree hands off.
Exactly. So it is the main maneuvers to test. And after I tried in every condition, in slow flights, you have to feel very comfortable in the elevator. So if the plane, you have to keep in head, so then the plane has to be very smooth in every condition, in every channels. So the plane has to be reactive in ailerons, reactive in elevators, but not aileron with a good reactivity and elevator too smooth. You have to find a good ratio in every channels, and then to try in negative position and to feel that the plane is very stable or if it is going down. For me, it has to be as stable as possible. So it's my main approach to find the good CG. And then flight by flight, I try to put the CG step by step, more back, more on the tail position to find the limit of the model, because some model can be very tail heavy. You will increase the performance and the reactivity in terms of maneuvers, but in the limit of precision. In this moment, you will lose a lot of precision. So for me, it's the limit. And then I know the limit and I know the range of the CG. So, but some other models, like Mephisto, for example, you will have better performance with the CG, maybe close to the nose, not on the back. Because on the back, you can snap very easy, and the plane can snap very easily. So, and start to stall with strange position. So depending on the shape of the plane and the scale of the category of plane. So for Delta models, you can move a lot of on the tail. The limit for me, as I explained, is when you lose precision and when you feel During landing, the plane is like an overing, is fixed on the overing. The plane, the nose is fixed on the nose up, and for me, it's too tail heavy. So you have to find the good ratio.
Okay, so we are now happy with the center of gravity of our plane. Next step is focus on really properly trimming the plane, right? And I think this is something that this is something with typical propeller planes is not that bad if you start with a good airframe, right? With a good build. I think with thrust vector jets, it gets a bit trickier, right? Because you now have both in pitch and in yaw, you have two different elements contributing, right? You have rudder and thrust vector on yaw, and you have elevator and thrust vector on pitch. And on top of it, when you go into a delta wing like the J10 that also has canards, you actually have a third element that can affect the trimming on pitch. So how do you approach the what's the specific set of steps you take to make sure that you are trimming the right thing, right? That you're not like going too high on thrust vector and compensating going down with elevator or canard or something like that. What's your approach there?
So the next step is to trim perfectly, trim all surfaces, and trim the thrust vector system. So the thrust vector system, the main thing to trim, it's very simple. You can, for the yaw vector, yaw trim, sorry, you can do some upline and with less wind. You have to be careful to don't have too much wind. And during upline with a good speed, you can see if the plane is moving on the right, on the left, and then you can trim. The plane has to, without gyro, of course, huh? You have to have a plane very stable and very straight on the vertical position. It is the same with a up-down vector system, but on my own plane, I still have the trim on the up-down vector mixing with 11. So if you trim up down vector, you will trim 11. So you will lose previous trim. So the next step is to do some overing, vertical overing, very stable without rolling. And you can see directly with less wind, of course, if the plane is going nose down, nose up, on the right, on the left, with a very stable thrust.
Yeah, you try to keep the throttle fairly stable.
Yeah, you manage to have a very stable position with the plane, with no speed, fixed position, and you can see if the plane is moving on the right, left, on nose down, on nose up, and you can adjust exactly the trim for the vector system. Of course, all others mobile surface won't have direct effect because you don't have airflow, so you don't have a lot of reactivity on the other surface. Donc, it's not necessary to trim other surface in this position.
Yeah, pretty much the thrust vector is the only thing affecting the airplane during a hover.
Exactly. So the trims are perfect now. CG feels to be perfect or nearly perfect for me. And now I can adjust my endpoints, feelings on each mobile part and thrust vectors also. For me, I want to find a good ratio, to have a good homogeneity on every surface. The plane has to be very smooth or very reactive, depending what you want to do, what you are looking for. But you have to find a very good ratio on every mobile part and the thrust vector system also. So it is for focus on endpoints and after, of course, exponential also. Depending pilot, it's directly the feeling of every pilot. Someone wants to don't put expo, very nervous plane. and some other put a very high exponential. It's a different approach. For me, I start to use 35-40% in every surfaces. And then depending how the plane is feeling, I adjust, depending of course, the size of the plane and the size of mobile parts. For example, RS XL with the full span ailerons. I use high weight, throw on every condition flights for every, channels. So I did several training flights to find the good setting for me, because I change bank of gyros depending the maneuvers, and I change also the throw of ailerons and elevators and the vector system depending maneuver. So it was not easy because I love to mix some radical maneuvers and smooth maneuvers. So it was not very good to change every time bank and dual rate also. So after some flights, I managed to find a good ratio with good exponential and full rates in all mobile parts, all channels of the plane. So
you have a single rate, like you're always had like full deflection, and you just use exponential to have a bit more control on precision maneuvers.
Exactly. So of course, on jet, you will have a very high range of velocity, of speed. So the deflection will be more effective with the speed. So you have to be careful. When you increase the speed, the plane will be more and more reactive. So you have to be careful. But for me, it is my approach, and I feel comfortable like this.
So at this point, we have center of gravity, we have trim. One thing that I think we've talked about is in a delta wing type plane, how do you we've talked about how to handle flight surface like elevator versus thrust vector for trimming. How do you handle the canards? Because the canards and the elevator can kind of overlap each other a little bit, right, when you're doing this test. How do you know if you have to trim one or the other one or both?
The settings of canard will have a direct effect in the medium or high speed flight. When in 3D flight, canard position is not very important. In slow flight also, neutral position won't have a direct effect on the stability of the trajectory of the plane. So you will have to increase the speed in medium speed flight. Something like that, not full speed also. And you will see when you increase the speed, if the plane will still be stable, or if we lose his trajectory, if he wants to go up or go down, you will see directly. And then in the reverse, you will be in a medium of high speed position, horizontal line, and you reduce the thrust, turbine thrust directly, and you will see if the plane is going up slowly or going down. Normally, the plane is going down when the spin is decreasing. So he has to be going down, but slowly, of course. If he is going down very quickly, canard position is not good. You will have to move the neutral and to increase maybe some millimeters up the neutral position of the canard.
Okay. And of course, this is something that you would do after you feel pretty good about the trim of the thrust vector, right? Otherwise, those changes on speed and thrust could be totally due to the thrust vector position.
Exactly. Because every settings will have a direct effect. So if you change thrust position, you will change the trajectory, and if you change the canard also. So you have to set one per one. So one after the other. Step by step, you have to set and to see directly how it's going, changing one thing on the plane. If you want to change the CG, you change only the CG. If you want to change the canard trim, you change only the canard trim. And everything like this to see the difference, if it's better or bad. So you will see directly the effect.
Okay, so we've covered center of gravity, we've covered trimming, and we've talked about dual rates, exponentials. I mean, the next step is probably looking at the gyro settings, right? A lot of the steps we've done are with gyro off to make sure that the gyro is not hiding some bad tendencies or some behaviors. Now that we're happy with this, let's talk about gyros. So first, maybe let's talk a bit about what type of gyro you use. I believe you use Powerbox, right? And how do you approach the initial setup? So when you're at home before the first flight, how do you start setting things up based on your experience? And then how do you tune as you do more and more flights with the plane?
So during years of practicing, I managed to try several gyro manufacturers. Powerbox, iGyro SRS, Cortex Pro, AAir, and the last one, the Powerbox iSAT. So you can see on the same plane how perform each gyro and how with the effect of each gyro performance on the plane. So it is very interesting to see how we can change only the gyro the performance. So for me, the main thing to set the gyro is to do on the field, to be sure the gain and the effect of the gyro is in good position. The control of gyro is in good position to don't have any reverse control. And then I start to put the two bank on the gyro with a slider on my transmitter. The neutral position of the slider is corresponding to the gyro off, and the slider full up is corresponding to the bank A, and the slider in the negative position is corresponding to the bank 2. And then I set on the transmitter some limitation on the slow of the slider, corresponding to the limitation on the gain on the gyro, to be sure I won't have too much gain on the main test. So I put a limitation, for example, on the bank A. Bank A is corresponding to, for my flight, is corresponding to all basics maneuvers, all pattern flights with good speed.
Some more like precision aerobatics.
Yeah, exactly. For G10 and RS, as soon as you will increase the speed and you want to do some pattern flights, I am in bank A. As soon as I start to do some spin, to do some square loop on G10 or flips, I know some the name of the maneuvers.
Yeah, like the flips and the pinwheels and
flips, your flips with RS, torque roll, hovering, riffle roll. I am in bank 2 because you will have more gain and a better effect on the stabilization of the gain on the plane. So, but in start, I put some limitation in bank A. For example, I put maybe 35 or 40% gain limitation on bank A. And bank 2, I put limitation on 30%, something like that. To be sure, even if I put my slider in maximum deflection, I will have a limitation.
Still safe enough, yeah.
Yeah, to be safe on the first flight with the gyro on. So I start with the plane, with the gyro on, and I see directly the effect if something is wrong or it's okay. If something is wrong, of course, I cut off the gyro. But anyway, if it's okay, I put my finger on the slider and I increase the speed of the plane in bank A and I increase the slider until I can see the plane start to oscillate on the wing or the channel. But In generality, it is the wings start first to oscillate than on other channels. So if it starts to oscillate on the wings, I reduce slowly my slider position until the plane stop to oscillate. And I can see, I don't change the slider position, and I tried several maneuvers, several speed maneuvers also. And the main goal is to increase the speed with maximum speed. To be safe, you can put a full throttle in the up line to be sure everything is okay, because it is safely positioned like as in a horizontal line. And then I can see if the plane is moving or not. If with my slider in full position, the plane is not moving, I change direct in flight the limitation of the bank A value, and I increase by 10 or 15%, and I can see once time again how the plane is feeling with the new setting.
But for the most part, it sounds like you are, at least for bank A, for precision aerobatics, it sounds that you are trying to find, like, you're slowly going up in gain until you see oscillation in each axis, and then you bring it back a little bit, right? So you're trying to get the most gain possible without getting the plane to oscillate at the speed range that you are flying.
Exactly. And you have to be careful, because when you will find the good gain settings in bank A, for example, the wind will directly affect also the gain. So if sometime you can fly with a lot of wind, you can see, or maybe you may see the plane start to oscillate also. So you have to test also in every condition of wind also, and to check with high speed if everything is okay or not. After that, every time on all my models with PowerBox Gyro iSat, for me it's the best gyro at the moment, you can set with a very good precision all setting you want to do you are looking for in every channels with high precision. And I still increased the factory lock-in on the PowerBox iSat is 20, and directly I put in 25, 24, 25 the values, because you will increase precision on the maneuvers. Lock-in will have a direct effect when you stop maneuvers. For example, when you do a 4-point roll, each time you will stop the roll, the plane will increase the stop precision with the lock-in, with the lock-in values.
Is the lock-in trying to basically avoid or reduce the kind of the inertia? So if I'm rolling and I stop, the plane will take a little bit of time to slow down. Will it actually like apply a little bit of like opposite aileron, for example?
Yeah, exactly. With the lock-in, you can feel the plane lose some inertia, because you will increase the precision. But you have also to find the limitation of the value, because if you have a higher value, as soon as you will stop the roll, the plane will oscillate in this position.
It might bounce a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit blanking. So you have to reduce this value by 2 or 3 steps and try again.
Okay, so you, by default, based on your experience, you tend to bring up the lock-in field from like 20% default to like 25 or so?
Yeah, it is also the same with a characteristic of gyros. On PowerBox gyro characteristic, you can set soft, normal, hard, and ultra. It will have direct effect on the gyro response time. So if you change the characteristic by too soft by hard, for example, the gyro will be very, very fast to answer. But you will have also some effect on the gain value. So you have to be careful also. If you increase the gain and the plane still to be very low, still moves, you can change the characteristic of the corresponding channel and try again. It will have a direct effect on the gain response.
Do you, on your experience on your planes, do you tend to usually use certain setting in this gyro characteristics? Do you usually go to soft or to medium, or it depends a lot?
In generality, I put directly on hard because on trust vector plane, I want to have a direct effect on the gyro. For me, gyro is only stabilization. So I don't have a lot of gain. I prefer to feel the plane moving and to control by myself than to feel the plane is very locked. So I increase the characteristic.
So you go too hard and then you have like relatively low gains.
Yeah, and I reduce the gain and I feel the plane still moves, but I can feel the plane by myself. So it is my main approach. I feel comfortable like this.
Okay, so we've covered lock-in, we've covered the gyro characteristic. I think the next thing probably is stick priority, right?
Yeah, so stick priority is when you put you power on the gyro, you can feel directly an effect on the plane reactivity. You can lose some reactivity on the plane overall. So on trust vector system, for example, when you are in 3D, and if you feel the plane is too smooth, you can increase the stick priority. When you increase the stick priority, you will stop the effect on the gyro quickly. So original settings for PowerBox is 100%. And so it means that the gyro will have effect from 0 to 100% throw of the channels. If you put the stick priority to 200%, you will have a stop on the gyro effect and the medium stick position.
Okay, so on the first like 50% of travel to the right, for example, on ailerons, the gyro is going to have some effect. After 50%, you have full control on that channel.
So you will feel the plane is more sensible.
Okay, so the higher the value, the faster you are taking over the gyro completely.
Exactly. So you have to find a good balance, depending what you are looking for and depending your feeling also. Anyway, my recommendation is to change step by step each settings and to see what's happened and to be careful. And because gyro will have direct effect on the plane. So, for example, if you put a Bang B channel with 100 gain in full speed, you will have a direct, like a fluttering. So it is very dramatic situation. So you have to be careful.
Okay. So I think some of these parameters we've talked about are probably close enough to what other brands like, you know, with the Cortex Pro, for example. I think you have similar settings like lock-in, stick priority. The other one that is also pretty common, but I believe even though they have like similar naming, I think they're pretty different, is the attitude assist or the heading hold, right? Can you talk a bit about that? How different brands have this? How different brands handle this? And how do you like to set this up in your planes?
So I tried by the past some heading lock on the Cortex Pro. For example, heading lock on the ailerons. So I put in heading lock on the ailerons. And when you put heading lock, the plane is locked, totally locked. So for example, I was in overwing And I start to move the L1 stick and rudder stick to start to do a circle. And the plane still continue in straight position. So it was totally strange. Someone will like it because the plane is on like auto control. It is very stable. But if you want to do something by yourself and to control the plane, to still control the plane, it is not a good idea. So I directly deactivate it. And I tried also on the last ISAT PowerBox Gyro. And it is a totally different approach. It is not a heading block. It is attitude assist, like his name. So it will increase the stabilization of the plane because when you put on the attitude assist, you still have the deflection until the plane is going on the straight position. But as soon as you will move the stick, you will disable the effect. So for example, you are hovering, the plane is going on the right, on the left, so for example, the plane with the attitude assist on will compensate with L1 on the right, and the plane will start to go on the right and will be very stable. As soon as the plane is in horizontal position, you will have L1 on the neutral position again. Or if you want to move the sticks, you will disable the direct effect on the attitude assist. So for my feeling, I found that the plane is much more stable on the wing. You can see a lot of planes during jet models with thrust vector system. During hovering, the plane is still balancing on the wing, still oscillating like this. So with attitude assist on and the good gain also because it is mixing, you will have a better stability. But I tried also to put attitude assist on the vector up and down. But for me, I don't like also because the plane has still the nose up, and for me, I don't feel comfortable. But I can feel if the plane needs more speed or more thrust or more compensating on some surface or not. But for me, I don't like this. I just put attitude assist on ailerons.
Okay, so with PowerBox, you would put attitude assist on ailerons. If you were using Cortex, sounds like you probably would not use heading hold at all.
In Cortex, I disable anything, yeah.
Cool. I think that's a really good walkthrough. I guess there is one more optional thing, especially with PowerBox. I know PowerBox has some kind of like GPS unit that lets you, based on the speed at which you are moving, you can adjust gains or something like that. Do you make use of anything like that?
Yeah. I tried with GPS or not. It is depending what is your model. If you have a model with high speed range and thrust vector system, GPS is very good because as soon as you will increase the speed, GPS will have direct effect on the gyro and will reduce the gain. So you can set with more precision the gain depending the maneuver you are doing. So if you are doing some pattern flight, you can increase the gain, and as soon as you will increase the speed, the gain will reduce by itself. But as soon as you will slow down the plane, gain will be increased because the GPS will see some slow speed. So you can manage to do some more precision settings. And for me, it's very good.
So something like the RS, for example, could be pretty useful. Right? I think the RS is probably one of the widest flight envelope.
Yeah, for RS, it's very good because you have a very big turbine inside and you can fly speed. You can fly very slow also. But with a full deflection anywhere, GPS have a main role in the final results. So it's very easy to set the GPS. You will have a coefficient from 1 to 5. If you put 1, it means that the plane won't have a lot of range speed. It is slow plane, for example. like par player or something like that. So if you, in a reverse position you will put five, it means like the plane can fly very speed, so the gain will reduce directly with a high range. And when you slow down the plane, it will increase the gain by the main value you set on the previous flight.
Okay, so something like an RS that has like a big, you know, you can go very fast, you can go very slow. GPS would be really, really useful if you're doing a plane without thrust vector, where you're always doing medium to high speed. It's probably not that critical. Still could be a bit useful, right? Like a high speed pass versus a slow pass, but probably a bit less critical. And something like a J10, maybe a Mephisto, they are a bit slower planes, right? Maybe it's not as needed.
Yeah, it's depending how you fly with the plane and what is the type of plane also.
We talk about how you like to use a single rate and just find the right exponential setting that lets you control the plane comfortably at low speed, high speed, 3D precision aerobatics. For thrust vector, do you turn it on and off based on the maneuver, or do you keep it on at all times?
No, for me, it's very simple. It's full deflection every time in G10 and Mephisto or RS. I tried in the past to change also to delay the vector for normal flight. But for snaps, for example, for sport jets like Mephisto or RS, vector system will increase the snap start. Because you will have the nose directly up and you will facilitate the snap. So I still fly with full deflection, but you have to be very careful when you fly full deflection with vector. G10 not, because it is not very difficult plane, but on a sport jet like Mephisto RS, you have a very high lateral surface and a very reactive rudder. So if you mix a rudder with your system, you have to be careful to don't have the plane snaps or something like that. So that's why you have to find the good exponential position and you feel very smooth with sticks.
So it sounds like your transmitter workload is relatively simple. I'm guessing that you only have one switch for switching gyro banks, right? If you're doing precision aerobatics high speed, you go to the, I guess, bank A for lower gain. And if you go to flips and 3D and slow flight, you might switch to bank two, and that's about it. That's pretty much the only thing that you must be switching back and forth during a flight, right?
Yeah, it's not easy because I still try to mix, like I said before, to mix maneuvers, to mix pattern flights with snaps, with flips, with something totally different in the same maneuver. So you have to manage and do things before the maneuvers. Okay, I want to do something like this. I have to change the bank A to bank 8 from to bank 2, and after to bank 2 to bank A. Because if I still do the maneuver in bank A, I will have less precision, so the plane can move. And in reverse, if I do the maneuvers with bank B, I will have too much gain. So I still have to think before the maneuvers, okay, I want to do this. How is the gyro position? And I have to, during the flight, I change every time bank A, bank 2, bank A, bank 2.
Yeah, that sounds like one more reason to not have additional settings to move around, right? Like dual rates or thrust vector on and off. Like if you start flicking too many switches, then it's very easy to make mistakes.
Exactly.
Again, with propeller planes, I think it's pretty well understood what type of deflections you want to have for if you're doing precision aerobatics or you're doing 3D extreme aerobatics. With a thrust vector, I think you have a couple more options, right? For example, let's say in pits, you could have the full 45-degree deflection up and down on elevator, or you could have little deflection on elevator, for high speed or medium to high speed, and then just rely completely on thrust vector to do those like really sharp maneuvers? Like, how do you approach how much deflection to put, especially on the tail, especially on elevator and rudder, in comparison to the movement you get in thrust vector?
For me, concerning the thrust vector is very simple. I try to put mechanical limitation, so the maximum deflection in yaw and pitch, and mixing both of them, because when you mix, you consider at least the mechanical limitation. So it is depending the system. The limitation is directly depending of the system.
You mean you try to go as far as physically possible?
Yeah. The maximum deflection of vector. And on G10, I cut the nozzle, fiber nozzle, to increase the deflection. And I tried also a lot of size of vector, length of vector, and you can see directly an effect of the reactivity of the plane. So my actual G10.
Do you find any downside? Like, for example, yesterday happened to be, I'm building right now a J10, coincidentally, a Pilot RC J10, the 2.8 meter. And I was looking at the thrust vector setup. And you have some factory recommended settings, right? I think it says 20 millimeters for 3D on thrust vector on yaw, on rudder. And I believe it's like 28 millimeters on pitch. I actually could get significantly more, like mechanically. I had to go to a relatively small size servo arm in order to get to those deflections. I could easily go to slightly bigger arm and get significantly more. That sounds like that would be your approach. Like, actually, you would go pretty high there.
Exactly. What you said, you have to find a good ratio, because you can put a very high deflection, but it means, then you will have a very long control arm. So you can lose some precision and direct torque of servos. So I saw several times planes very smooth with a maximum deflection, and as soon as you put a stick up with a pitch full deflection, plane was very smooth. I don't understand why directly. And after, when I check the plane, I fix the vector by myself, by my hand. I move the sticks. Anyway, anything was moving. So that's why because the problem with the thrust vectoring, as soon as you want to do something hard in flight, you will increase the thrust. So you will increase the flow inside the pipe. So you will increase some constraints. And you want also have to maximum deflection. So you have a lot of stress in servos. So that's why you need very high performance servos. And to find the ratio between the control arm length means good precision and good torque and very long arms, but you will reduce the speed and the precision and torque of the servo. So you have to try.
You definitely have to make sure that the geometry and resolution is good. But it sounds like if you have strong enough servos, if the geometry is correct, it sounds like you tend to prefer as much deflection as possible. Like, you are not concerned that, oh, this is going to be too much and it's not going to be useful, or it's going to be too aggressive. Like, it sounds like you want to have that additional deflection in thrust.
Maximum deflection will have a direct effect on flips. Every other maneuvers, it's less sensible, because with overwing, you don't need a lot of deflection. Flat spin also, it is flips. If you want to do some very, very small flips, you need a lot of deflection.
All right, I think that's a really, really good deep dive into setting up one of these planes. I know a lot of people will really appreciate this. Maybe we can change gears. Let's talk a bit about some of the other stuff you've been doing. So I should mention this, because I have watched this video very recently. I recently watched this freestyle to the music that you did at some Erso, maybe in Italy, I think, with the RS. Okay, that was really, really good. Like, I don't think I've seen a freestyle with a jet basically flying, dancing to the music as much as the one I saw from you. I think usually, you know, it's not very common to see jets flying to the music in general. And if you do, for the most part, the music is just on the background. I think this freestyle with you and the RS was probably one of the first ones that is really maximizing the potential of the plane, like doing snap rolls, doing precision robotics, doing really good like rifle rolls and 3D. It's almost like an extreme robotics freestyle with a jet, which is pretty unusual. Is that you are trying to push on? It seems like you are trying to kind of really push boundaries there and almost make a new type of flying with jets, right? That almost nobody else is doing.
Yeah, I said by myself since long time, I have to create a freestyle flight with music, because in air show, it is something totally different when you fly with or without music. So when I, at start of the season, I did the maiden flight of the RS. At start, I say to myself, okay, this plane is something exceptional. So with this plane, I must have to create a freestyle routine. So it's not easy, because you have to find music to do a composition. So, and I, in 4 or 5 minutes, I want to show all capacities of the plane and myself also, and to show, like you say, the precision flights, snaps, slow speed flights, for, of course, 3D, but 3D with something different also, with your flips, with something new. So it is good, and I have to practice a lot again during the winter. I have a lot of new maneuvers to try in my head. And I would like to comp on the future on freestyle jet competition, but unfortunately, actually, we don't have any freestyle jet competition. We have only gas aerobatic competition. So let's see on the future if someone wants to create one. Anyway, I will perform this new routine in the new season, and normally in the UK Western Park and German Jet Power, and of course, all events I will be present. So yes, it's very cool to see jet performs with music, and I had a very good feedback. So I think not perfect. I have to practice a lot again, but it's good.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good, and I think it's really exciting. I think the reason why you are not seeing pretty much any competitions doing freestyle with jets, I think that the closest thing probably is the European Extreme Flight Championships this past year, that were doing the tandem formation. I believe that the reason why they do tandem is, again, because there's almost nobody doing this type of like hardcore, almost extreme aerobatics routine with the jets. I think when you have like a milder type of flight, if you have like two planes in the air, you can like be a bit more creative without pushing the boundaries of the flight itself as much, right? I think more people need to start, you know, building those skills and building the freestyle routines that are like that good to get enough people to actually make a competition. I think it's something we'll probably be seeing more and more in the future, though. It's one of the most spectacular things that you can see, right? So
I will do the same with the G10 also.
Oh really?
Yeah, sure. It's good also. I am doing one with G10.
Nice. Can't wait to see that one. Do you like using simulator to get the initial routine ideas, like to do some? I found myself, you know, when I used to compete with propeller planes and freestyle, I think one of the challenges is what you were saying. It's like you need to figure out the music, come up with ideas, the maneuvers. And I think the beginning can be pretty difficult, right? Like once you have something with a good amount of shape, you can just tweak and tune little things. But at the beginning, when you don't have anything, It's really hard to just like play a song, go to the field, and hope that things will work out. Do you use simulator to get the initial attempts out of the way a bit faster, or do you do everything in the field?
I did some simulator flights years ago when simulator start to be present. But to be honest, no, I don't practice a lot of simulators because after 10, 13 minutes, I start to do something not good. I don't have a lot of concentration in simulator, so I practice in direct flights. So it's not good for plane because if each flight you have to push more and more with my own plane. But anyway, I prefer to fly directly in reality. I never find models in simulator with the same feeling like my own. So even on the last real flight with RS or something like that, yeah, you can do everything. It's good, but it's not the reality.
Yeah, especially in those more specialized models, I think a lot of those are just other RC pilots that build those planes, those models for real flight, and most of them probably didn't get the chance to fly the real plane, right? Like probably the RS you might have tried in real flight probably was built in the computer by somebody that might not have had a chance to actually fly the real plane, so it's never going to be the same. The other thing that I thought was interesting to chat about was your new relationship with PAU and RC Gadgets. I know you recently started working with them. You traveled to Dubai. Can you talk a bit about those new projects?
Yeah, of course. I met Yassine and Youssef from RC Gadget last year during my last year event in India. And as soon as we start to spoke together, we had a very good feeling, and they share me their coming soon project, and they wanted to do some new models in jets also. So we started to do some discussion during all the year together, and now it's official. I am pilot for them. I am very happy because, as I said, we have a very good relation, very good feeling. It's for me, it's very, very important. And they started with the Pulse jet. It is a sport jet, speed jet, speed and slow speed jet, but it is not a thrust vector system jet. I managed to do some test flights on the plane during my last coming in Dubai in last December, 1 month ago. And the plane is a prototype, but the plane is very good, very stable, and you can fly speed, slow. You can do every pattern maneuvers with no problem, with high precision. So they are ready to start the production. The production will be directly in Dubai. And we have, of course, you know, I am a thrust vector pilot, so we have a new project coming soon. So I can say a lot. As I can say, it will be a Delta model with thrust vectors. It is not J10. We want to do something different. And we are working together to create a good plane with my all experience cross vector flights. So let's see. I think it would be very cool and very good plane. So normally the prototype will be ready next month or next 2 months. I will come to Dubai to do some test flights, to do a lot of test flights also, to check everything, to perform the plane, and to check so if the airframe is okay and if we are ready to start the production. So it is a future plan. And of course, production series will start just after when every test will be performed. And I will prepare mine just after.
It sounds like it's something that we might see more of this year in 2024?
Yeah, of course. Normally, the plan is to build my own model, so the serial production model, current April. So I will be ready for the season. And for the season and for the night season also, because I want to fly with this new model during nice flight show. So let's see.
So you said it's like a Delta Wing, not J10. What's the general idea, or what's the general goal in terms of what would you like you and the rest of the team try to achieve in terms of, you know, this is the J10, this is what it does well. What are you hoping to achieve that will be a bit better?
To increase some point of the G10 characteristic, knowing like G10 has a small wing area, so we will have a bigger area to increase the stability of the plane, to increase not the roll rate, because the roll rate of the G10 is very important, but the roll rate in the 3D maneuvers, because with small wings, during 3D maneuvers, you can lose a lot of reactivity on the wings. So it is the main goal, and also to increase the canard, to increase once time again the limit of the plane. Even if the actual limit of the G10 is very high, I want to do something more radical also. And we will have a central turbine, not on the back like on the G10. We will have a central turbine inside the fuselage. For two reasons, because in Europe we have some noise limitation restriction. So with the thrust pipe, you reduce directly the nose effect, and to have central mass all around the CG, and to reduce some inertia effect during spin, very fast spin or something like that. So let's see. But it is the main idea of the project. And to have a project with a very high quality airframe, of course, and very light, of course. It is the main point also.
That's really cool. I know that a lot of people, I haven't had a chance to fly the J18 yet, but I've talked to a couple of people that have, and everybody seems to really, really like it. So I think within thrust vector aerobatic pilots, I think it's a plane that has really good reviews. So I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of an improved different version with the same general delta wing concept in mind. That's going to be really exciting.
Thank you, yeah. Let's see.
I think maybe one more thing to cover is you recently went to India, right? Can you tell us a bit what you were up to over there?
So it is my third time in India. Each time it is a very good opportunity to meet new friends and new pilots. It is very good area with very good hospitality, very good persons. So I managed to do a lot of flights, training flights. I set a lot of new planes, and we had also internal events with a lot of India people. So it was very cool, and I did also before my India venue some 3 days in Dubai, like I said in previous steps, to perform some test flights on the Pulse from PAU.
When you were either in Dubai or in India, are you doing any kind of like teaching, clinics, something like that to kind of like transfer some skills to other pilots?
Yeah, of course. My main venue in India in 18 was concerning to do some coaching for 3D maneuvers about G10 overing or setting planes, and to do some coaching about 3D maneuvers. And of course it is the same idea, but also a lot of display flights, and to share good moments all together. So I'm very happy to have the opportunity to go there.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. When you're working with other pilots, either on the setup or on the flying side, do you have any general tips that you've seen people tend to either struggle with this thing, or is there something that you see people either struggle with, or tips that you give people that are particularly helpful that you see usually make a difference?
There are a lot of different points, but settings of models, like I explained minutes ago, show the direct effect on the performance and facility of the plane in flight. So to find a good CG position, good gyro settings, you can also do a lot of settings inside the turbines concerning the activity of turbines, about acceleration, deceleration. Depending on the plane, you will have a direct effect. And as soon as I change something, in generality, they say to me, "Oh, it's easy now. It's totally a new model." So it's cool to see the direct effect.
What about on the flying skills side? Is there anything that people tend to struggle with the most? With certain tips, they take a step forward.
In generality, they practice. They fly with most of them are flying with RC gas models, but someone are also flying G10, and I help a lot with hovering, stabilization, and to manage to feel the plane comfortable when the plane is moving on the hovering position. So to manage thrust and to feel how you have to move the nose, to change the position and to increase the stability, and to stop the oscillation on the wing. And yeah, tips can help directly.
Yeah, I think one of the typical things I see often, both with J10, but with pretty much any thrust vector yet, is a lot of wing rocking, right? When people try to start doing or learning Harriers, hovers, anything slow speed, I tend to see a lot of wing rocking. And my impression is that people don't really know very well how much of that is due to setup, right? Like, is that something that they should be looking at gyro settings to keep the plane more locked in? Or is it the center of gravity thing? Or is it that they should be, actually flying the plane a bit more and helping, like with propeller planes, right? That you commonly don't see gyros, right? And you have to do a lot of help with the ailerons.
It is difficult to say because all things can have a direct effect on the rocking of the wing. So you have to check, of course, the CG on first, and then, as we explained in previous minutes, CG and then the gyro, you can increase the gain, and also the position of the plane during hovering. You have to increase the angle of attack of the fuselage to increase the stability. If the plane is still rocking, it seems you have a wrong CG, maybe nose AV or something like that, or about setting on the gyros, or a bad position of the angle or attack of the fuselage. You have to increase it. Also, you need to increase the thrust also. As soon as the G10 start to work in, you increase the thrust. It seems as a plane, you don't have enough thrust.
With propeller 3D planes, when you're doing those type of like high alpha Harriers, the pilot usually is doing a lot of work on the ailerons to keep the plane straight, like the wings level. With J10, RS, Mephisto, when you're doing those type of maneuvers, is the expectation there that if you have everything right, you know, the center of gravity, the gyros properly set up, you are at the right angle of attack with the right thrust. Is the expectation or the goal that for most part you don't need to do a lot of that fighting back and forth, or you still do a bit of that aileron work?
Normally, you don't have to fight a lot, because stabilization of the gyro will help to reduce the rocking of the wing. Anyway, it is depending if you want to feel the plane very locked or if you want to pilot by yourself also. If you want a very stable plane, you put a full gain and it will be better. But you will reduce the performance of the plane and also the pilot skills. So it is depending your feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine also depends a lot on the flying style and level of skills of each pilot, right? Like if you are just learning how to harrier a plane or a jet, it's probably beneficial to have attitude hold and high gains and just help you as much as possible to keep the plane in high angle of attack stable. If somebody like you is way past that when you are just trying to go from a harrier to a circle to a flip, you probably want to have less help, more unstable plane to let you actually control and do those type of maneuvers, right?
Yeah, it is my own feeling, but depending for each pilot, it is maybe something different.
Cool. Well, I think this was super helpful. I'm sure a lot of people will really learn a lot of tips and tricks around setup, around pretty much anything related to thrust vector jets, really. So I really appreciate you being here with us. I'm really excited to see what you and the RC Gadgets team kind of comes up with this year with the new thrust vector plane and the poles. So yeah, maybe later this year we can have you back on and chat about those new projects once they are released.
Yeah, of course. I have a lot of projects coming soon, so we can speak a lot in next month with new models of coming soon and new projects. So normally it will be a good season, so let's see.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Nico. It was really fun chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Juan. And see you soon, I hope.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.